Now we read from the Old Testament book of Genesis, and in the 25th chapter we find Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Asherim, Lethushim, and Lumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hancock, Abida, and Elada. All of these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. In this length of Abraham's life, 175 years, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave at Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac settled in Beer Lahai Roy. And that is the word from God today. Thanks be to God. Abraham. He is one of the most important forefathers that we have in the Christian faith, and also as well as Islam and Judaism. He was one of the very first people to believe in and to proclaim the foundation of our faith, that God is the one God who created the world and the universe and all that was in it, including us, and sustains us. Abraham's name is often heard as God is described as the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And today, we look at the end of Abraham's life and his burial by his sons. Genesis chapter 5 comes after Abraham had buried and mourned the death of his beloved wife, Sarah. He has also made sure that his son Isaac was having a wife that was faithful. By this time, the Bible tells us that Abraham is 137 years by the time he had died. We do not know why the Bible has all these exaggerated years for people's lives, but we do know he was mighty old, but still kicking because he got married again. Her name was Keturah. And together they had 6 children. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I spent 2 days with my grandsons. Yeah, even those. And I need a week of rest. There is an important message here. When we grow older, don't stop needing companionship, intimacy, and closeness with other human beings. We don't stop needing romance either. That is something Abraham taught us 4,000 years ago, but of course, you will believe it. The scientists are still studying this, and yes, they determine that those people with excellent relationships, live longer, healthier, and happier. This is good advice for any of us of a certain delicate age. It's also good advice of children and grandchildren and other young people who care for older people. During my years of pastoral ministry, I had quite a few occasions when people would come to see me and were just sometimes appalled that their parent is going to get remarried or at least just date. Some of them were worried to death about that. I would tell them gently, though, "What? Do you want your parents sitting on your front step forever looking pitiful and weepy all the rest of their lives?" I have a couple of great stories for you. One was from the Harvard United Methodist Church where I was pastor, and there was a woman named Margaret there, and she was a very active, age 87 or 88, somewhere in that neighborhood, and she had more energy than I ever thought of having, and she was very active in the church too. So when she said she was going to come and see me the next morning, I thought, well, it's probably about the rummage sale or maybe the finance committee or even the administrative board. Well, in the multiple choice question, pick D, none of the above. She wanted dating advice. She had two men chasing after her, and neither one appealed to her. "How should I handle this, Pastor Sharon?" she asked me. Gosh, I love that woman. The next story is more personal. It's about my grandpa. My grandpa was quite a guy. Just ask me about him sometime when you have a little time. Within a couple, his wife died when she was 58, and I think he was right about the same age. And within a couple years, he married a widow. My mother and my aunt, his daughters, were absolutely frantic. They didn't like it. But Grandpa was happy, and he and Barbara had a marriage of about 17 years. No hanging around on the front step for Grandpa. He had to stay active. But then Grandma Barbara died of cancer. Not too much time went by when Grandpa invited my mother and my aunt to come to the church spaghetti supper, and he wanted to introduce them to Mrs. Alice Anderson. Yes, at age 78, Grandpa married again. His grandson, my brother, was his best man at his wedding. My mother and my aunt this time were rather delighted. We really liked Alice. We give her partial credit for my grandfather living to a healthy age 98. This time, he married a young enough woman that she outlasted him. In fact, my mother had to take a few breaths because Alice was just 2 years older than she was. But guess what? They became best of friends. When asked why he kept getting married, he would say, "I don't want to be alone." Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Each time Grandpa married, he would also take in all of his wife's kids and grandkids into the family. He was generous with his love and with his gifts. All the kids got gifts at Christmas. This is exactly what we read about Abraham. He was also generous. To his son, Isaac, he gave twice as much to that of his other children, but it was the law of the land at that time. Yet the Bible tells us that all the other kids who were not children of Sarah's, he gave gifts while he was still living. He had found a way around the law to bless them too, and he was alive to enjoy giving. Don't we enjoy giving? It's a wonderful thing. Abraham had a close relationship with God, and so he was determined to fulfill whatever God asked, whenever God asked. So it may be that Abraham didn't want to have a zillion children when he was a zillion years old, but God had made a covenant with him and told him that God would make his offspring a great nation. One day God took him outside at night and said, "See all those stars? Count them. So shall your descendants be." This is all to say we shouldn't stop living as long as God gives us life on this earth. If we aren't in heaven yet, God has a purpose for us. We should continue blessing others and enjoying all the abundance that God gives us in this world and in our lives. Part of God's covenant with Abraham was that each male child should be circumcised as a sign of the covenant on the eighth day of their life. And this brings us to that gospel reading. Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus 8 days old to the temple in Jerusalem to be circumcised. And presumably they stayed also for the rite of purification and to present Jesus, quote, holy to the Lord. We heard about Simeon, who was a devout man and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Spirit of God had told him that even though he was old and tired and ready to die, he was to wait until he saw the Messiah. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, he was there with the Holy Spirit telling him to go to that place where the little family was gathered. Then we read these beautiful words. I chose the King James Version because it's very beautiful in that old language. It says, "Simon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I wish you would read that quotation part with me. Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Beautiful, huh? Luke now tells us there was also a prophet, Anna. Are you listening to this? There was a woman who was a prophet. Gosh! Now it says that she was 84 years and I'm not sure if that means 84 years or given the life before, if she was more like 106, but she was old. And she lived in the temple 24/7, and she worshiped, and she prayed, and she fasted. And therefore, she also sort of knew to arrive to where the family and Simeon were gathered. And what happened? The Bible says she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. In other words, she was announcing that Jesus was the Messiah. In other words, Anna was the first woman to preach. Who knew? We didn't have to wait until 1956. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, here I am. In other words, who can proclaim the one true and holy God and Jesus our Savior? Anyone. Anyone who can communicate in any kind of way can proclaim Christ. One day old, 137 years old, male or female in any situation, any country, any voice, white, blue, purple, black, anyone. Now what is said of Abraham? That he lived being faithful to God and died as in Genesis, full of years, and said of Simeon that he was righteous and devout, and said of both Simeon and Anna that they were guided by the Holy Spirit. May these be our goals and purpose for our lives, to open our hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit so that we too may be guided by Christ to live righteous and devout in our lives. Who will join me in this great quest? Anybody out there going to join me in seeking those things? A few of you, yeah, say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen? Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. Therefore, we come to the end of Abraham's life of 175 years. With his death and his funeral, after fulfilling all that God had asked of him, Genesis tells us that Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him. Now, some of you may know the story of Isaac and Ishmael, in that they were brothers, but they had been estranged for many, many years. When they were separated, Ishmael was 16 and Isaac was 3. Now they are 89 and 76. That is a long time to be apart. But the death of their father brought them together again. The reason they were separated had nothing to do with them. It was their parents. They never had a chance to be brothers. A death, a funeral, can sometimes be a blessing for healing that hasn't happened any other way. And I have a special, special person to come and tell you just what this is. This is Farsha Mall. If you haven't met this beautiful young lady, and she is going to tell her story.
Good morning. So it is true. My uncle recently had passed away at the age of 77, and that brought the entire family together. We hadn't seen a lot of our family since 3 to 5 years, and that made us realize that we had lost a lot of time. We were holding grudges and thinking that we were better than each other. And I don't even know, there were some things between the parents, like, you know, Isaac and Ishmael, that, you know, were so, they believed in that so strongly that we were like, but it doesn't even seem like that big of a deal. Why can't we just move on? And then it just made me feel like, you know, we were just busy thinking that we're better than each other, that, you know, we, how they hurt us is so big that we cannot move past it. And then I was talking to Pastor Sharon, that made me feel like not only our family and friends, but Jesus has asked us to love our enemies. And that was our family, our blood, our, you know, the people that are coming from the same, you know, mom and dad. And we just don't even want to forgive them and move on. And, you know, it was such a big moment for me. And you know, so I realized that I want to share it with everybody at the church, that we as believers, we as followers of Jesus Christ, have to lead our lives by example and love each other, love our enemies, and so that we can show the world that this is the way of life. Thank you.
Yeah, some of you had heard that as a prayer concern and joy in church a few weeks ago, and I called her and I said, could I use that story? She started talking to me and I thought, oh, could you come and tell that story? And aren't we glad she did? We love her and we love her whole family. But feuds and hurts and angers and bitterness are not good for anyone. It takes courage and faith, but we need to take advantage of those opportunities that come for healing as they present themselves. If Isaac and Ishmael manage to put aside their hurt feelings and their fears, it can happen for us too. But I tell you as well, don't wait for the funeral. My brother and I were very close when we were growing up. But then life circumstances changed, trouble came about, words were said. We had not seen or spoken to each other for several years. When I got the call, my brother had died at age 54. I had not taken the faith and the courage to try to contact him. Now I have but one hope. I think all of us hold on to that hope, that in that heavenly place, at that banquet of God, we will be together again with all who love us. In our reading from Genesis, we are told that Abraham died and was gathered to his people. What does that mean? In Abraham's time, they didn't really have a concept of an afterlife. Later, some Jewish people believed in a type of resurrection. Some others at least had an idea of a place of the dead, mostly called Sheol, which had no judgment attached to it. It wasn't what we think of hell. They didn't know what was coming later. But now we know what was coming later. We have more comfort in the times of death and grief than Abraham and his family. We are living after the time that God gave us the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God has shown us there is another life that lasts forever and is more glorious than this one. Jesus Christ is God's most loving and generous gift to us. As Simeon says, for my eyes have seen God's salvation. Because Christ is risen, we too can face the death of our loved ones and our own death with peace and the joy of being faithful believers in God and disciples of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. There are the words in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that are so wonderful. I wish you would read those with me, with feeling. God, who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we say Alleluia, Amen? Alleluia, Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for all of those persons in the Bible who shared their lives with us and their faithfulness and taught us many things about life and our relationship with God. And we thank you, God, for yourself, for your love, and for your gifts, especially the gift of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. May we live in that joy and that hope. In Christ we pray. Amen.